Hello, my name is Eric, and today I would like to discuss human trafficking. Is it trafficking? I can't even say the damn thing. Some people call it the sex trade or the sex slaves or whatever you want to call it. I want to talk about that, dealing with hanging out in those gay bars and how I got picked up and fell into the sex trade and was going to be trafficking as a, I don't know, couldn't be a prostitute. Anyway, my name is Eric and welcome to the craziness that lives inside my head.
Let's get down.
Okay, here we go. It was 1979. 1979, 42nd Street, McCann's Bar. Really wasn't a gay, but it was a lot of gay people, gay men, I should say, hung out. It was a drinking bar. I used to drink a lot. They used to get the 3-for-1s. McCann's Bar did 3-for-1, so you get there for happy hour. Happy hour, you get 3 drinks for the price of 1. That was back in 1979 on 42nd Street, McCann's Bar. I was there, and basically, I think that's why I went to the bar. So I met a guy. We always meet guys, don't we? I met a guy, and I don't know his name. It's been a long time ago. I brought him a drink. He said, buy me a drink. You know, nice looking guy. From the looks of it, he was well hung. Why not? He was well hung. You could tell. So I bought him a drink. And then he took me home. Or I should say, we went to his place. Which was very, you know, very spooky. But you know how it is. You're on 42nd Street. You're high. You're horny. You think you got yourself a real hot man and he wants to take you home. You're going home with him. We get on the train. I think it was the number 2 line. Went all the way up to the Bronx. He lived in the Bronx. Well, we got off. I forgot what stop we got off. But all I know is the stop that we got off in the Bronx. This is when they were burning down the Bronx. We got off and all you could see is burnt out buildings. That's all you could see. It was an elevator. The elevated part of the train. We walked down the stairs to the streets and following him to his house. We got to his house, his apartment, whatever you want to call it. It was all burnt out. So he went into they had a little courtyard, went to the courtyard, and what he did something, pushed the door open, and then he went, it was dark, no lights. I'm following him now, no lights. We lived on the first floor. We didn't have to walk in that far. And then he pushed in another door. And after he pushed in that door, he turned on lanterns. He had a lanterns. He turned on the lanterns so we can see. And then he shut the door tight, you know, with a chair, put a chair up the door and something up to the door so nobody else can just push the door in. And all you could tell he was living there. You know, I think that the living room, he was sleeping in what they call the living room. And it was one large king-size bed. Now, mind you, you would think, right? Picking up a total stranger at a bar on 42nd Street, riding all the way up to the Bronx and burnt out section in a burnt out block, following a guy, total stranger, into this burnt out building, you would think twice or 3 times. But when you're in your 20s and you're horny and you think you got a man, you don't think like that. All you think about is getting that piece of trade, whatever you want to call it. So anyway, he told me to take your clothes off, took my clothes off, he took his clothes off, and that was my reward, I guess. Yes, he was quite hung. So then We were kissing, making out, and then he proceeded to try to, penetrate. It wouldn't fit. And at least I had some sense in my mind back then. Usually, my motto was if it don't fit, don't force it. That was my motto back then. So he didn't. And he just laid back, lit a cigarette, and he laughed at me. He said, I know a lot of people that would pay for you. Now, mind you, I'm 300 and change, close to 400 pounds. And I'm looking at him like he's crazy. Who would pay for a 375 pound fat boy? And he said to me, I have a lot of clientele. And I know a lot of old men, he said, old men who loves fat boys. So, I didn't think about it, So I said, listen, I'm going. So I started to get dressed. He stopped me. I said, and I couldn't believe this. He stopped me. He actually stopped me. He took my pants out of my hand and threw it. I said, what's wrong with this guy? He stopped me. Now, mind you, I am 375 pounds. And he was, those tall, lanky boys. The tall, lanky boys who walk around with 10 inches. That's what he was. So anyway, I pushed him. I didn't push him down. Let's push him away from me. And I went to start to get dressed again. Next thing I know, he had a knife up on my neck. He said, you're not going no fucking where. You do what I tell you to do, or I'll kill you. Now, I was shocked. Wasn't scared, just shocked. Because that never happened to me before. This is new. And then he told me to go to sleep. Because in the morning, I'm going to take you to a guy's that's going to sell you. He's going to sell my body. He's going to sell me to these guys. I said, you're going to sell me to a guy? He said, yeah. This guy got a whole clientele of men that will pay for guys like you. And I'm going to make me some money on your booty like that. I'm like, wow. Now, did I sleep? I don't know. I had no choice. It wasn't that long of sleep. I mean, we bar closed at 4, so it had to be like 6. The sun was coming up. And I was thinking, I didn't know what to do. I was petrified. I mean, I never had anybody threaten my life like that before. So then he went in my pocket, he got my wallet, looked to see how much money I had, and then he took the money out. We slept, maybe, I don't think he slept, I think we both pretended to sleep. So when the sun came out, it got light outside. It had to be 7 because the grocery store on the corner opens up at 7. Most stores back then open up at 7 in the morning. So he handed me my money. He took out of my wallet, handed my to me. He said, I want a pack of seeds to go down to the corner. It was like a bootlegger. So go down to the bootlegger. I want a pack of cigarettes and give me a bottle of wine. And then I think he took, I guess, Wild Irish Rose, right? My money. So anyway, he made me. I had to get dressed. I can't walk out there naked. But he wasn't dressed. He was stark naked. He had the knife, watching me getting dressed. Hand me the money. Walk. Had to walk into the door, push everything out the way. And then he was standing on the other door, the entrance to the building. He said, "Now mind you, now he's naked." He says he put the knife up to my throat. You better not run, cause I can outrun you and I'll stab you to death. You're mine. Your booty's mine. I could get a lot of money for you. Just go give me these cigarettes and this wine. So me, I'm walking there. I'm just walking. He's watching. He's nobody. I mean, he was. There's nobody out there. I mean, he's naked, but who cares? There's nobody out there. It's all burnt out buildings. And I'm looking. I'm walking down the block. There was a little store down the block. I'm walking and I'm looking behind me. He's still there, just staring, just staring. When I get to the corner of where the store was at the corner, I said to myself, let's get the fuck out of here. I mean, he had my wallet, he had everything, but I couldn't care less. Let's get the fuck out of here. So when I act like I was going into the store, I didn't. I went that way and I went down the other block, down to where the L was, and I'm screaming. Not help, but I'm trying to wave a car down. I waved one of those gypsy cabs. I waved the gypsy cab down I hopped in the gypsy car. And then he was, the son of a bitch did try to run with naked. And I guess it didn't matter. Holding a knife like this, he's chasing that. He did do it. Got into the cab, told the guy to drive me. At that time, I was living with my folks in Spanish Harlem. Drove me to Spanish Harlem. Lucky for me, I had money in the house under the mattress. So I just went up the stairs, got the money from the mattress, and paid off the gypsy cab driver. Whew. And I couldn't believe that. I mean, in my mind it disappeared. I mean, I have not heard stories about sex trafficking. Maybe in the 90s I heard it, and now in the 2022s I'm hearing it. I have nieces, they tell me, yeah, it really happens. Yes, back in the 70s, it was happening. It happened to me, but I was lucky. I escaped. This is Eric, and thank you for listening to the craziness that lives inside my head.
Let's get down to business. I'll give you one more night to get this.